We begin the current davening. Tzivam is Daf Chav Zayin. We begin on the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in discussion from the previous Daf. That is, we had an opinion from Rav mentioned regarding a specific case of when there are three sister-in-laws that are all three sisters. Three sisters married to three brothers. And then the brother-in-laws die, the ones that are married to the sisters, and these three sisters that are also sister-in-laws fall in front of two brothers Yevamim. So Rav said that one of the brothers does chalitza to one of the sister-in-laws, one of the brothers does to the other sister, and then the third one, both of them have to do chalitza to that one that's left. So on that, Rabbi explained, in the opinion of Rab, it must be talking about a case where each one died consecutively. That wasn't at the same time. If it was at the same time, actually Rab would hold that each one would have to do chalitza to each one. And the reason is because, as the Gemara illustrated, that Rab holds yeshika, which means say that there's a strong bond between every yavama and every yavam, and hence, in the case of, let's say, they all fall at the same time, they're each going to be a chesiku kasai of the other one, so therefore, although every brother has to do chalitza, one brother's chalitza will not help for the other brother's chalitza because it's a deficient chalitza because you can't go ahead and do a yibum. So the chalitza that you're doing is not from such a strong zika. So therefore, each brother would have to do chalitza to every one of those three sisters that are the sister-in-laws. However, the case that Rav was talking about was actually that they died consecutively. So when the first one dies, so the first brother could go ahead and do chalitza to her. When the second one dies, then the other brother can go ahead and do chalitza for her and help out the other brother that he doesn't have to do chalitza because it's not a deficient chalitza. At this time, she's not an achrayis kukasai. Then when the third one dies, then it's already deficient for both of them because both of them had already done chalitza to this one sister, one to one to the other one. So it's considered achrayis chalutzasai. Therefore, no one could do yibim to her. So since it's deficient, and Rav holds yeshika, that one brother's deficient chalitza cannot help for the other ones, so therefore they both have to do chalitza to the third one. And that was the previous daf's discussion. Now the Gemara brings the Shmuel, and Shmuel argues on that opinion of Rav. He says, actually, echad chalitza kulan, one brother could do chalitza to all of them. Whereas, unlike where Rav said that, yes, one brother could do to one and one to the other one, and however the third one, that we say that everyone has to do it their own and one cannot exempt the other ones. Here Shmuel says one could do for all of them. So the Gemara is Mechti. Let's see. How does this work out? Shamin li l'shmuel dama, we find that Shmuel is on record saying that chalitza ma'al yibinim. When we're doing a chalitza, we have to do the best, as we were speaking about regarding that there could be a deficient chalitza. We want to make sure that you do the best chalitza that's possible. As the Gemara brings dama, Shmuel, like Shmuel said, we continue to have a with there, the case of Shmuel is talking about, which the Gemara will shortly bring and discuss the cases of Shmuel, someone when there's two sisters that fall in front of Yibum from two different brothers, which essentially that's the case of a Chayesuku Kasai, where they're both falling, two sisters are also sister-in-laws, their husbands die without any children, they're falling in front of the third brother. Now, additional to this is that each one of these sisters also had a co-wife. That means the two brothers were not only married to the two sisters, they also had an additional wife. So that Shmuel said as follows. It says, Chalitz l'achoyis, if the Yabam does chalitza to the sisters, then loy niftru tzaris. That does not exempt their co-wives. And the reason is, if the Yabam had wanted to do Yibam to the sisters, he couldn't have done Yibam because they're achayisu kukasa. You can't do Yibam to achayisu kukasa. Rather, Shmuel says, you do chalitza to the co-wives, and the co-wives will exempt the sisters. Now, Rashi clarifies. He says, although actually in Halacha, the co-wives also, if he wanted to do Yibim, he could not have done, because they're also somewhat of like a tsaras of an erva, because the erva is a chayisu kukase, which is like a quasi a chayisisha. But however, their prohibition is lesser than the sisters, because they're not literally a tsaras erva. The sisters are a chayisu kukase, so that's a rabbinic decree. But the co-wives of those sisters are not such a stringent thing. So therefore, their chalitza is still somewhat better than the sisters, as the Gemara will shortly explain how we understand this concept. But be that as it may, that's what's called a chalitza ma'alya. So a better chalitza could exempt a lesser, a weaker, more deficient chalitza, which is the chalitza of the sisters. But the weaker one, the ones of the sisters, will not exempt the co-wives. Now therefore, the Gemara develops the question on Shmuel. So if so, heicha dekaima chalitza deshimen chalitza ksher, where you have the option. We're talking about that there's two brothers from the three brothers that passed away, which are all three sisters, the three sister-in-laws. So he's saying, one brother could do chalitza to all three of these women. So the Gemara is bothered by that. We do have Shimon. Let's say Reuben was the one that did to the first woman. Now you have for the second woman, you have the chalitza of Shimon, who he could do chalitza to the second one. In other words, because if he wanted to, he could even do yibum to the second one because he didn't do chalitza to the first one. And therefore, this second woman is not achos chalutzasai, which essentially is like the case of that Shmuel that the Gemara is asking from, of the tzara of these achos zukukais, where they're a very good, they're a chalitza ma'alia. So you have Shimon that could do a chalitza kshera. So chalitz la Reuben chalitza psula. So Shmuel allows in this halacha that he's arguing Rav for Reuben to do it, which is a deficient chalitza, meaning Reuben already did chalitza to the first sister. Now that makes the second sister achis chalutzasai. Now therefore that makes it a deficient chalitza, and yet you have Shimon who he can do a full fledged chalitza. So how can we say that a chalitza psula could come exempt a chalitza kshera? We just said before that the chalitza of the sisters, the achis ukukasai, will not exempt their tzaras. So therefore, why in this halacha does Shmuel say that the chalitza of Reuven could go ahead and do it to all three sisters and will exempt Shimon from doing it? So the Gemara says, you're right. My echad chalitz lekula namid kama. What did Shmuel mean when he said that one of these two remaining brothers could do chalitza to all of them? He meant that ayim tzois. That was going on the middle one, meaning the third, the last one. Meaning, after Reuven did chalitza to the first one, and yes, Shimon did chalitza to the second one. So now this third sister is an achos chalutza for both of them. Now, since they're both the same, therefore there's none that would be that. There's no other brother that you're doing a chalitza psula that should make it for him. That what I mean, he has a chalitza ma'aliyah that he can still do. Now, moreover, Rashi says that obviously Shmuel holds that chalitza psula, a deficient chalitza, is ein tzrich halachzar kalachan. Unlike Rav, who he held yeshika. Moreover, that so if you're doing a deficient chalitza because she's your achis chalutzasai, then you would have to go ahead and all the brothers go ahead and fulfill their deficient chalitza, and that is what Rashi is explaining in the Shmuel's opinion. That's not true, because since here both Yevamim are the same, and that is, we don't have one that's more deficient than the other one, which is, that's different than the case we're asking from Shmuel. Where there, they're not the same, the tzaras and the chesek ukasai. The tzaras are less deficient. The sisters are more deficient, and therefore, regarding over there, you wouldn't have the sisters exempting the tzaras. But over here, where we're talking about the third sister, where anyways both brothers are the same deficient, so then we say that then he could go ahead and do it even for the third one. We don't need the other brother to also do chalitza to the third one. But the Gemara asks, how could you say that that's what Shmuel means? But fakulin kama. He said that one could do it, all of them. How could you say it's going in the third one? So that Gemara says, not a question. Kiven deruba gabe, since the majority of the sisters will be having chalitza done by this one yavam, because since he's doing to two out of the three, so karla kulin, that's why we call it all of them. But in truth, the halacha is that it's not that one could do it all of them, rather one does to one, and the second one does to the other one, and then regarding the third one, we say that anyways, even in their deficiency, then we don't have to have both of them doing it. You could even have one doing it to both. That's one approach the Gemara has to answer the contradiction from Shmuel's own halacha on this halacha of Shmuel that he argues in Rav. Then the Gemara says, "V'ba'yisimu, if you want, you could say a different answer to resolve that." Kikar Mishmuel chalitza ma'al yabina, and you're asking that Shmuel, you see that halacha regarding the achisuku kasais and then the co-wives of that you have to have a better chalitza. You can't use a deficient one to exempt the other ones. And that the Gemara says, Hanami l'mifta tzarasim. That was, as that case was talking about, to exempt a co-wife. That we say that a chalitza psula cannot exempt the chalitza that's necessary for the tzaras. Ava mifatra nafsha patra. However, with even a deficient chalitza, we could exempt a yevama herself. And that is that there is a difference that the yevamos are, in a sense, worse off than the yevamin. Because although a chalitza psula will not work, because the din in the yibum, it seems that in this version of explaining Shmuel, is that the yavama is the one that needs to be exempted. The yavam is just the object being used to exempt that. So therefore, when you have all the co-wives need to be exempted from yibum chalitza. You could choose whichever one. So it's saying that if you're doing a deficient chalitza, well, that won't work for another co-wife that has a stronger zika, that in the case of like the tzar of the chesek ukasai. So you do to the sisters, that won't help with the tzaras. However, regarding over here, where we're talking about where they're all the same anyway, the only difference that we're having over here is regarding the Yavaman. So here we would be talking about, in the case where Shmuel argues and Rab, that there is no co-wives. If there's no co-wives, yes, actually one brother could go ahead and do chalitza to all them. Now, although when it comes to the second one, it's going to be considered achayis chalotzasai, that's not a problem because regarding the chalitza, at the end of the day, it is going to be a chalitza. So although it's deficient, but it's still severing that zika that she has. So although the other brother might not be achayis chalotzasai because he didn't do any of that, and for him, maybe it's a stronger zika, it doesn't make a difference, because at the end of the day, her zika is being severed with even this deficient chalitza. Again, this stands in contrast to when there's tzaris, where then this other co-wife never had her zika severed, because although it was done to the co-wife, meaning to the other one, to the chayis zukukasai, and that was severed, but that's not strong enough to sever the zika that she has, and therefore we see that in this answer of the Gemara is making a difference between the deficiencies related to the yevamim, to the co-wives, and regards to the brothers, that one brother's deficient chalitza could work for the other brother, even though it would seem that that should have a stronger zika, and that shouldn't be. Now that the Gemara says gufa, the Gemara quotes this halacha of Shmuel that we had used to ask from that on this previous halacha of Shmuel regarding the three sister-in-laws that he argued on Rab. So the statement was, Amar Shmuel, chalitz lachayis, if one does chalitza to the sisters, lo niftar tzaris, that does not exempt the co-wives, litzaris, if one does chalitza to the co-wives, then niftar achayis, then that does exempt the sisters. Again, as we explained, the case was talking about that we have these two sisters that are sister-in-laws from these two brothers that died around the children, fell in front of one yavim. So he said, you're doing to the sisters, that's not a great chalitza, it's not going to exempt the co-wives, but if you do it to the co-wives, they're better off, and therefore their chalitza would exempt the sisters. Now, Shmuel continues with a similar type of a case regarding two yavamas, two co-wives that fall from one brother. Now, the case that it's talking about over here is that the yavam gave a get, a divorce document to one of them. Now, therefore, that chalitza of that woman that he gave a get to won't be such a great chalitza because her zika is already deficient. Now, that's only rabbinically because there's no halach of a get to a yavama, but rabbinically, once you give a get, they don't allow any more yibum. So therefore, that's a deficient type of a zika. Now, so therefore, the halacha, Shmuel is telling us that if chalitz labalas haget, if he does chalitza to the woman, to one of these two co-wives that he gave a get to, then lo nifter tzar, that doesn't exempt tzar. Again, but the same logic is that because that's a deficient zika, hence that's not such a strong chalitza, and therefore that won't exempt the co-wife. But tzar, if you give the co-wife of the one that you gave a get to, so then nifter bales a get, so that exempts the one that you gave a get to, because if it exempts the strong chalitza, the strong zika most definitely is going to work for the weaker zika. Now the next case of Shmuel is if, let's say, that he gave a mimer, which a mimer is a rabbinic kedushin that works for a yevama. He gave that mimer to one of the two wives of his brother that died. And then, chalitz labailas a mimer, then, after he gave this kedushin, he does chalitza to the one that he gave mimer to. So that again, Shmuel says, leniftar tzar, that does not exempt the tzar. And the reason is because this chalitza is not a great chalitza, because it doesn't totally exempt this Baalis Mimer, that he doesn't have to look at her ever again, because he still needs to give a get for that Mimer. As the Mishnah says later on, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, that if one gives a Mimer to one of the women, and then he does Chalitza, she still needs a get. Now, although that when he gives her the get after he did the Chalitza, well, that's going to work, but still the co-wife still needs to have a Chalitza, because that means that the Chalitza wasn't a good severing, because you still need a get. So therefore, that won't work for the co-wife. But litzara, but if you do chalitza to the co-wife, then niftra balas maimer, that will exempt the one that you gave the maimer to, meaning from her chalitza, and then you would only need a get for that maimer, but again, that the chalitza of the co-wife is stronger than that of the balas maimer, and therefore that will work for the chalitza that's necessary for her, but again, you still need to do a get for the balas maimer. That was the halachas of Shmuel. Now, the Gemara asked regarding the first case of Shmuel, which was what we had assumed, which we had taken for granted in our previous discussion. But now the Gemara goes through the discussion of what is the understanding of the logic. Maishna lachay. The Gemara asks, what is the difference when he does chalitza to one of the sisters? Again, there's from two different brothers. They both fall in front of him. We said that if you do chalitza to one of the sisters, delay nifter tzaras, that will not exempt the co-wife. What would the reason for that be? The havela achis isha bezika. That would be his wife's through zika's sister, which we always call achayis ukukasai. And that is because had he wanted to do yibim to this sister that he's doing chalitza to, he couldn't have done it. So therefore that makes it a deficient type of a chalitza. Well, the question is, but chalitz litzaris namri lo lifter achayis, but even if you do chalitza to the co-wives of these sisters, it also shouldn't work. Because the Havilahu Tsaris, because then based on the same logic, they're then the co-wives of Achais Isha Bezika. In other words, if you're calling this woman some type of erva, rabbinic erva, quasi erva, either way, you're calling her Achais Kukasai, so that makes her co-wife a co-wife of this erva. Now, a tsara of an erva is forbidden to do yibim to. So therefore, she's also a deficient zika, and therefore her chalitza should not work either for the sisters. So why do we say that if you do chalitza to the tsaras, that will work for the sisters? So the Gemara answers, Ksava Shmuel ain't zika. Shmuel holds there is no halacha of that there is a bond. And therefore, if there is no bond, so then I'm not a sister, I'm not a co-wife of an erva, which that erva is a chesed kukasai, because there is no chesed kukasai. Now, there's obviously a stronger question, which the Gemara will address later on, that if there's no achais v'kukasai, then why, if one does to the sisters, is that a problem for the tzar? But the Gemara asks a stronger question anyway. How can you say that that's going to answer Shmuel, that that's why if you do chalitza to the tzara, that will help for the sister, because I'm not a tzara of an erva. There is no zika that makes it as if she's some type of a wife. There's a mitzvah to do yibim, but she's not the sister of the wife, meaning in regards to both of the sisters, to make the tzara, tzara's erva. But the Gemara says, how could you say that? But Bamar Shmuel says in the second parak that yesh zika, he's on record of saying that there is zika. So how can you say an explanation of why would help by the tzara of the sisters to exempt the sisters if there's no zika when he says yesh zika? But the Gemara answers, l'divrei amein zika kamei right. Shmuel himself holds yesh zika, but the halacha that he was saying over here was talking about according to the pin that holds ein zika, then the chalitza of the tzara will exempt the sisters. Then the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's this case that Shmuel is explaining, it's talking about if you hold Ein Zika, well then we're back to that question. Cholitz Lachai is, if you do Chalitza to the sisters, meaning the sisters that are from two different brothers that died without any children, well that's a pretty good Chalitza then. Amayla Niftur Tzaris. Why does that not exempt the Tzaris? If you hold the Ein Zika, so then there's no difference that there's one sister from one brother, one sister from the other brother. That there's no Zika that makes her like she's your wife, that's a problem of doing Yibim to the other one. So then why do we say that that won't help for the Tzaras? So the Gemara actually explains that we would understand it halfway, but it would still be difficult, as follows. Bishleimet Tzar de Rachel. We could understand this. We're calling Rachel and Leah. Leah was the first one, got married to Yaakov. We're calling her the first one. And Rachel, we're calling the last one. So the Gemara says, we could understand, we're talking about two brothers, that these brothers have two sisters, and then each brother, besides having married one of these sisters, has married also to another woman, which is, that's the co-wife of the sister. So the Gemara says, we understand the Tzar de Rachel, which she was the one that if you do chalitza to her last, I mean, because we're saying, we're talking about if you do chalitza to the sisters, that won't help for the co-wives. So then the Gemara says, look, I understand regarding the second sister you're doing chalitza to, which is Rachel. Her co-wife, we understand the loy tifta, that Rachel's chalitza will not exempt her co-wife, and the reason is to keep in the chalitz la leya v'hada chalitz la Rachel, because since you first did chalitza to the first sister, and then you did chalitza to the second sister, that of Rachel. So havi la chalitza, the Rachel chalitza psula, that makes Rachel, the second sister's chalitza, a deficient chalitza. And the reason why it's deficient, because if this Yavim had wanted to do Yibim to her, he couldn't have done that because she's a Chais Chalutzasa, nothing to do with Yeshdik or Einzika. Once you do Chalitza to one sister, you cannot go ahead and do Chalitza or take in marriage to do Yibim to a Chais Chalutzasa. So it's a deficient Chalitza. So we understand why in that case, to understand Shmuel's Halacha, that would not exempt the Tzara of the sister. Now, obviously we're saying because he holds Ein Zika, so but generally it would work from the sister to the tzar, but in that case it wouldn't work. El tzar de Leia tifter, but the question is, the tzara of Leia, that chalitza that is done to Leia is a full-fledged chalitza, because had he wanted to, he could have done Yibum to Leia, because if you're saying that he holds Ein Zika, so there's no din of a chesuk kasai, so he could have done Yibum to Leia. Now, therefore, when he does chalitza to Leia, why does that not go ahead and exempt the tzara? It's a full-fledged chalitza. It's not a deficient chalitza. Now, Taisa explains, although Rashi uses the words that if he wanted, he could do yibim to Leia, it's not really true, Taisa says. Because even according to Mandom, holds Ein Zika, there's still a isra of, because you might come to be mevatel the mitzvah of yibum if one dies in the interim, or in this case, when there's one brother, and then the other one's automatically going to be refused. But Taisa just says, but that wouldn't make it a chalitza psula, because that wouldn't be a din intrinsically in the Zika. The Zika is a full-fledged Zika. And therefore, again, intrinsically one could do Yibam to Leah, and therefore that should exempt the Tzara. So why do we say that if you do Chalitza to the sisters, that will not exempt the Tzaras? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ma'ale niftru Tzaras nami dekama. What does Shmuel mean when he says that doing Chalitza to the sisters will not exempt the co-wives? It's a Tzara de Rachel. It's going on the co-wife of Rachel. You're right. If you do chalitza to Leah, that will exempt the co-wife. Because there's ein zika, there's no problem of achar zikukasai. It's only going on Rachel, who she's the second sister, where that's already a deficient chalitza because it's achayz chalutzasai. That deficient chalitza will not work for the tzara. Well, that the Gemara asks, but the tzara's comment says in the plural that the one it will not exempt the co-wives. It should say the co-wife because we're only going on tzara's Rachel. But the Gemara says tzara's diyama. That doesn't mean because it's also going on tzara's Leah. It means that wherever you have such a case like this, then the chalitza deficient, the chalitza psula of the second sister will not exempt those tzaras, meaning whenever this case happens, meaning in general. That's what we use in the plural sense. But it's really only going on tzaras Rachel. Then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if this that Shmuel says tzaras, so you said we figured out why it's plural because tzaras yama, but it's going on the tzara of Rachel, meaning the one sister that you did chalitza last to. But if that's the case of tzaras, then how do you understand the next part of his sentence? When he says that chalitz l'tzaras niftra chayis, he says, okay, so but if you do chalitza to the co-wife, then you'll exempt the sister. Is that really the case? That if you went and did chalitza to the tzara of the chayis chalutza, because that's what Rachel is the chayis chalutza of Leah. Now, if you did chalitza to the tzara of her, then that would exempt the chayis chalutza, meaning that would exempt Rachel. And that the Gemara asks, Vatzaras Rachel, is really true that from the co-wife of Rachel, meaning when you do chalitza to her tzara, mi miftura, will that exempt Rachel herself? But vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, on the chalitz on daf mem omed beis, that says as follows, it says, Asur Adam, a person is forbidden, bitzaras kroivas chalutzasai, in the co-wife of the relative of his chalutza. Now, as Rashi explains, as the Gemara they will explain, even if this was a co-wife that wasn't from his brother, rather if the relative of his chalutza was married to somebody else, the co-wife would still be forbidden for that man. Now, therefore, in this case, where if he had wanted to do yibum to the tzara of Rachel, he could not have, so that makes it into a deficient chalitza. So how do we go ahead and have the tzara, which you're explaining, the case of tzara is going on the tzara of Rachel, that will exempt the chalitza of her of the sister, if that's also deficient chalitza, as we'll see over there on Daf Mem what the reason for that is. But we see that one cannot go ahead and consummate that relationship, which means you cannot do yibum with the tzara, again, which is the co-wife of the relative of the chalitza. Now, in this case, the chalitza is Leah, and the karav of that is Rachel, and the tzara is the tzara of Rachel. So you see that you cannot do yibum. So that makes a deficient chalitza. So how does that deficient chalitza help for the zika of Rachel herself? So because of this question, the Gemara has a whole new interpretation of this halach of Shmuel, which takes on a different picture. The Gemara says, Shmuel nami hischav lehischav kama. Actually, when Shmuel said that if you'll do chalitza to one, that eat like when you do to the sisters, that will not exempt the tzaras. Or if you do the tzaras, that will exempt the sisters. He doesn't mean the word lifter to exempt. It's saying that if you start with one, and that if you didn't start, as follows. The Gemara explains. Hischel ba'achoyis, if you started with the sisters, meaning that you first did chalitza, let's say taleyam, when it says lo yiftru b'tzaras, it didn't mean that you won't exempt the tzaras. It means then lo yigmar b'tzaras. Then you cannot conclude the tzaras. I mean, because there's really two different houses, two different brothers that you have to exempt the co-wives from. Now, so we're saying that if from the first brother there was Leah, so you started with the sisters, then you cannot exempt the chalitza that you're doing to the tzara of Rachel for Rachel. That's what it means, lo yiniftru tzaras, meaning you cannot now exempt the other peer with doing chalitza to the co-wife. And that's ditnan, because that's the Mishnah we just asked from on this halacha, which actually says, because asa adam mitzaras kreves chalutzasai, a person is forbidden to do yibim, to have a relationship with the relative of the karav of his chalutza. Now, that Rashi explains most definitely that you cannot conclude that the sisters either, meaning that, of course, the chalitza of Rachel is not going to exempt the tzara of Rachel, because that's also, for sure, not a good chalitza, because Rachel is a chos chalutzasa of Leah. But rather, the halacha would be in such a case that if you started with the sisters, meaning one of the brothers' wives, then each one of the second pair, both the sister and the tzar, will have to have their own chalitza. Now, however, when we said regarding that if you're going to do chalitza to the tzaras, that will exempt the sisters, it's not that that will exempt the sisters. It means if hischa b'tzaras, if you started, let's say, with the first pair, with the co-wife, meaning you did chalitza not to Leah, one of the sisters, but rather to the co-wife of Leah, then yigmer af b'chayis. Again, it doesn't mean that that will exempt the sisters. It means then you could even conclude the chalitza for the other brother's wives, even with one of the sisters, meaning if he wants to do chalitza to Rachel, he can do chalitza to Rachel and exempt her co-wife. Because although Rachel is the relative of Leah, who's a tzara of the chalitza, that doesn't make it a problem. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah over there. It says, Mutar adam b'kreva tzara's chalitzasa. A person is permitted in the relative, which that's what Rachel is, of the tzara, which is what Leah is, of the chalitza, which was her co-wife. And therefore here also, since there's no zika, that we're saying that Shmuel is going according to the opinion of Ein Zika, that's what Rashi explains, if he wanted to do Yibam to Rachel, he could have done Yibam. And that's because right now, she's not a chiz chalutzasai, because you didn't do the chalitza to Leah. You did chalitza to the tzara of Leah. So there's no problem about doing Yibam to Rachel. And all the more so, of course, as Rashi explains, if you want to conclude by doing chalitza to the tzara of Rachel, not in Rachel, that would make it even better. But that's all going according to if you say that ain't Zika. But of course, the Gemara is assuming right now, if you would say yesh Zika, well then you wouldn't be able to do neither to the sisters or neither to the co-wives, because any one of them you would run into the problem of either a chesek ukasai or a tzara of a chesek ukasai, which is somewhat of a tzara's erva, and therefore there the chalitza of none of them would exempt any one of them. But here we're going, according to Mandam, Ein Zika, and we're talking about if you started with the sisters versus if you didn't start with the sisters, but rather you started with one of the co-wives. That's one approach in Shmuel's halacha. Now the Gemara says another approach. Rav Ashi Amar says, Lo'ilum kadika amar. The truth is, like we had been saying up until now, that Shmuel, as he said, that if one does chalitza to the sisters, it's not that then you cannot conclude with the co-wives. No, it was like we said that then you cannot exempt the co-wives. And the reason is because Shmuel holds yesh zika. And that's because the chalitza of the sisters are deficient, and hence that would mean that even the tzara of the first sister that you're doing chalitza to would not help for the co-wife, for the tzara of, let's say, Leah, because the chalitza to Leah is deficient, she's a chizuk kasa. Whereas, if Shmuel said, if you do chalitza to the tzaras, that will exempt the sisters, because as we had explained already in the beginning of the sugya, when we had used it to contrast on Shmuel's other halacha, that the chalitza of the co-wives are still better than the sisters. Now, but the question still stands, which the Gemara had asked, why don't you say that she's a tzara of achis isha bezika, and therefore she should be just like the achis zukukasai, which means to say it's deficient chalitza, because she's like a tzara of an erva. And that is what Rav Ashi is saying, that's not a difficulty. Because of Mishum, Duloy Alima, Zika, Leshavi, Letzara, Ka'erva. This that we made, that there's some type of a quasi marriage, because there's a bond that says that you have to go ahead and do Yimor Chalitza to this Yavama. The Chachamim did not make a Gzeira to make it like a quasi wife, only by the sisters themselves. By Chayisu Kukasa, we say, oh, it's like some type of a Chayis Isha. But to say that the co wife of this Achayisa Kukasi is like a co-wife of an Erva, that they didn't say, and that's why, according to Rav Ashi, there is going to be a fundamental difference between the sisters and the co-wives. The co-wives, we didn't make a rabbinic decree so far to make Zika so strong, even if you say Yesh Zika. And therefore, if you do Chalitza to the co-wives, although we're not going to let you do it even, but it's still better, it's a Chalitza Ma'aliyah, that will exempt the sisters, but the sisters, the Achayisa Kukasi, that will not exempt the co-wives. The Gemara says, Tanik Avasei de Rav Ashi. There's a brisa that supports this approach of Rav Ashi. The brisa says, Cholitz lachoyis, lo nifter tzaras. Sounds like the same words as Shmuel. If you do chalitza to the sisters, that will not exempt the co-wives. Now the inference is, halitzaris nifter achoyis. But if you do chalitza to the co-wives, that will exempt the sisters. My time, what's the reason? La mishum, you have to say, diksabi yesh zika. Obviously the brisa holds, like Shmuel, that there is zika. And that's why the chalitza of the sisters will not exempt the co-wives, because they're achayisu kukasas, but v'loya alima zika l'shava l'tzara ka'erva, but must be that they don't hold the zika so strong to make the co-wives like a tzara of an erva, and that's why the sisters will be exempt from the chalitza of the tzaras. Now, Taisus says that you can't say the same way the Gemara in the first approach, not a Rav Ashi, said that, wait a second, we're not talking about that based on yesh zika or not zika, it's maskil and loy maskil, I mean the way we had interpreted, and that's because, no, if that would be the case that the Brisa is talking about, the Brisa should have been more explicit. Rather, must be that it's supporting like Rav Ashi's approach, because that stands in contrast to Shmuel, as Taisa explains at length in the other Taisas, that it, because there Shmuel has many different cases. He talks about Baal HaSaged and Baal HaMaimer, and therefore he wanted to pick, although a very obscure terminology, that then is the equal for all the cases that he could say the same type of phraseology. But over here, where they're talking about just this one case, they should have been clearer about it, that it's talking about maskil loy maskil, and the fact that it doesn't say that must be supporting Rav Ashi's approach. Again, that you see that although you hold yeshika, it does not make the tzara of a chesuk kassin like a tzara's erva, that it would not be able to exempt the sisters. That's the support for Rav Ashi. But the Gemara rejects that support. The Gemara says, Amar Baba Mamo, it's not true. Hamani, who's the town of this brisa? It's actually Beishamahi. The town like Linda Mishnah and Dafyat Gimel. That Beishamai, they actually argue in the whole first Mishnah of our Masechta. Beishamai Amar Tiyun Hatzoras La'achim. Beishamai permit the tzara of an erva for Yibam. Even the tzara of a full-fledged Achais Isha, one of the 15 arise, what a person's allowed to do Yibam to. Now, therefore, for sure, the tzara of only rabbinic Achais Isha, I mean Achais Kakasai, of course you can go ahead and do Yibam to. And therefore, there's no raya, according to us, which Shmuel were all going in Beis Hill's approach. Beis Hill would hold that's not true. The tzara of this Achais Kakasai would be like a tzara serva. And of course, the yibum of the chalitza of the tzar would not exempt the sister. Although the Brisa says that is, it's going like Bisham. Bisham holds not only the tzar of achayis gukasai, but even the tzar of achayis isha could exempt the erva, meaning the achayis gukasai in this case, because they hold there's never a problem about doing yibum chalitza to the tzar of an erva. Now, the Gemara asks, ihachi, if it's going like Bishamai, so why did we say that you could do chalitza to the tzar that will exempt the zika of the and the chalitza of the of the sister? What do you mean? According to Bishamai, you could actually do yibum to the tzar of a chesukuka, because you could even do yibum to a ches of a tzar of a ches isha. So why does it say that you're doing chalitza and that chalitza could exempt if it's like Bishamai? The thing says it's not a difficulty because Rabbi Yechman Nuri Damar, it's going like Rabbi Yechman Nuri's version of Bishamai, that he said, "Bayu nesakin lehem letzaras." Let's find a way out for the co-wives of the ervas. She holds his vloy misyamis. Because you could run into problems if you hold like Beis Hill or you hold like Beis Shammai, because Beis Hill holds that it's going to be exempt. Beis Shammai holds that there is a chiyuv. So he says, let's find a way that everyone will agree to that you do chalitza to the tzaras of erva, and you won't do yibum. And therefore, it's going to be a full-fledged chalitza according to Beis Shammai. And that's where the brisa is going like. And that's what's going to exempt the sisters. But it's said only in the version of chalitza, not in yibum, because Rabbi Yechon Menuri says, even according to Beis Shammai, we should not be doing yibum to the tzara of an erva. That the Gemara asked, but the master said, "Lo hispiku ligmas adaver." They never got a chance to finalize Rabbi Yechman Nuri's version after Nitfah Hashan until the moment that it was lost, and they never implemented that. So how can you say that the Brice is going according to Bishamai in Rabbi Yechman Nuri's version? And that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok, Ach Rav Chazar Tikni, you're right. In his days, they never got a chance to implement it, but at a later point in time, they did implement it, and therefore, again, there's no riot to Rav Ashi because actually, that Brice is like Bishamai in Rabbi Yechman Nuri's version. Now, Tosfos says that obviously this is a deichik, but however, it's just that the one who's rejecting Rav Ashi's raya didn't hold of this logic that you're going to say that Achayis Kuka are Arayis, because they're like a quasi Achayis Isha, but that the co-wife is not going to be a Tzara of an erva. Why not? If you're making the Achayis Kuka into some type of an erva, then her co-wife should be a Tzara of some type of an erva. And therefore they said, to make a Deichig, that we could say that it's not going to support Rav Ashi, and rather it's like Bishamai in Rabbi Yechman Nuri's version. Now the Gemara continues in the related discussion regarding this topic about Yesh Zika or Ain Zika. See, by Luda, the following question. Continue on Talmud Beis. Bailas haget u bailas maimer, which Rashi explains the case he's talking about. If someone has a brother that died, and he had two wives, now, so you have two potential yavamas. So now this yavam went, and he gave a maimer, which is some type of rabbinic kedushin, to one of the wives, and he gave a get, which is also only rabbinically valid on some level to yavama, because there's no get with a yavama, only for a full-fledged wife. He gave that to the other wife. Now it's forbidden already for him to do yibum, because already it's in the category of lo yivne. He can't build once you started not building, which is what happens when you give a get, then you can't build it anymore. So now that he started divorcing and he has to now go through the process of chalitza, the question the Gemara had was, ezim hen kodemes, which one of these have priority in the sense that which one has a better, stronger chalitza, that if he did it to that one, it will exempt the co-wife. Because that's the discussion we're having on Amud Aleph about the chalitza ma'alya will work for the chalitza psula. But the psula will not work for the ma'alya. Which one is the stronger that has a bigger chalitza? As the Gemara explains the question. Do we say, balas hager adifa, oh, this better chalitza will be for the one that you gave the get to. And the reason is, from the aschal baba chalitza, you already started the process of divorcing her, which is what chalitza does, it severs that bond. You already started that with a get. So in a sense, you already have a hands up with the one that you did the get to. So maybe that's the one that has the better chalitza. Maybe the Gemara says, actually, the other way around. The one that you give the maimer to is better. Mishum de krev labia. She's closer to being having an intimate relationship with her, meaning to having yibum, because maimer is a kedushin, which is one step closer to consummating that relationship. So the stronger you have a chance for yibum, that makes your zika stronger. And therefore, there the chalitza is going to be stronger because that's a stronger zika, it's a stronger bond. Whereas regarding the baal saget, where it's already a deficient type of a zika because you already started divorcing her, maybe that would be a deficient chalitza. So then Amar Vashi says, Toshima, coming here from the following brisa, which that brisa elaborates on a Mishnah daf Nun Med Aleph, where Rabbi Gamliel says, a halacha that ain't get achar get. Meaning if, let's say, there's two co-wives, and you gave a get to one of them, so although rabbinically that would make a valid type of a get, like, and therefore you'd be forbidden to all her relatives as if you divorced, which is the halacha by a grusha, but the second one you gave a get to, that will not be viewed halachically as a get, and then you'll be permitted in that other yevamah's relatives. Now, that is what the Braisa says, that however, Moedir Ramlil agrees, although he says that in get achar get, but he agrees that sheyesh get achar maimah. There is, we will view it as valid if you give a get after a maimer. That is, if let's say there's a brother that dies and he has two wives, and he gives a maimer to one of them. Then he gives a get to the other one. And that is what the Brice is quoting in Rav Gamliel, that he holds that the get will help to, first of all, invalidate the ability to do yibum to the first one, because now we already started the process of layivne. And therefore, although you already give a maimer to the first one, it's too late. Doing a get to the second one will say you can't do yibum to any of the co-wives. And moreover, it will say that the relatives of the second one will be forbidden just like the first one. And the chiddush of this is that we don't say that the maimer to the first one was like you already started marrying her, and that the second one is rejected and doing a get will not be valid at all. And that we say, no, that there is a get achar maimer. Moreover, u'maimer acha get. You can do a maimer after you already did a get. In other words, if you gave a get to the first co-wife, and then you gave a maimer to the co-wife, we don't say that the get to the first one was already like a quasi-chalitza, and therefore you can't go ahead and do a mimer to the other co-wife, because mimer is trying to connect. You already started divorcing, it's too late, it's not true. It does help, and therefore you need to go ahead and have a get for that second one's mimer, and then you're also going to be usher in her relatives too. So now the Gemara concludes the raya. E get odif, if we would say that a get was better than the maimer, meaning regarding the case that we're discussing, when you gave a get to one and a maimer to another one, and we wanted to know which one has the better chalitza to then exempt the other one. So if a get was better, well then lolahani maimer abasrei. Well then that shouldn't help in the case of when you do a maimer achar get. Because if a get is the stronger one of the two, so maimer which is weaker cannot have an effect. And vi maimer adif, and if you said that the maimer was better, well then lelahani get abasrei, then this, when you do a get after the maimer, that also shouldn't help, because we have something stronger that already made a connection. You can't go ahead and start divorcing. So the Gemara concludes, Allah Shema Menah, obviously what we can infer from that price is that ki hadadi nini, that obviously they're both equal, and that resolves the question that either one will exempt the other one. You could do chalitza to whichever one you want to, because they're both deficient chalitzas. And then the Gemara concludes, Shema Menah. Tosis obviously explains that this is going like Shmuel, and according to the version on Amud Aleph that said that one of the brothers could do chalitza to all of them, that was going on the third brother, which was like Ravashi's interpretation, as we said, because since we said that both are the same deficient, so then it doesn't make a difference, and therefore the Baal Saget, Baal Zemaim, the both deficient type of chalitzas, and therefore doing to either one, and since none is stronger than the other one, will exempt the other one's type, the other one's zika that there is. Nothing more continues on this topic of Zika. I'm Rav Huna Marav. Beis Achayis Yevamas. If you have two sisters that are falling to Yibim at the same time, meaning you have two sisters that are sister-in-laws and their two husbands die at the same time. Shenafal Lufna Yavim Echa, now they fall for Yibim, both of them, to the third brother that there's one Yavim. So Rav first says that if you're using chalitza regarding these two sisters that are sister-in-law, so if chol so yishayin, if you do chalitza to the first one, meaning the first one that her husband died first, so hutra, that chalitza allows her to marry someone else. Chol tzlashni hutra, then if you do chalitza to the second one, that allows her to marry someone else, which is called to the shuk, and or as Rashi says, something would be the other way. Whichever one you do first, you could do chalitza first to the second one, and then to the first one. That's regarding if you're using the process of chalitza, which will allow them to go ahead and marry other people. But if the first one, meaning the one that the brother that had died first, if that Yivama, that sister, dies first without chalitza, then actually mutter, then be permitted to do yibum bishniya in the second sister, meaning the sister that her husband died second. So as Rashi explains that although at the time when she became a Yivama, she was an achis zukuka of the first one, and that would be a problem of that I don't call on her the pasuk of Yavama Yavi Aleha, which that means to say that she has to be legitimate Yavama, which she's not if there's a problem of Chesed Kukasai. However, and that Rashi explains in the opinion of Rav, when the first one then subsequently dies, her Zika is removed. Then that makes this second one permitted. Now, as Rashi clarifies, that Rav does not hold of this that the Gemara had concluded on Nafchav Gimel Mabez, that our Mishnah over here says that regarding when there's four brothers, that two of them married two sisters, and then those two brothers that married two sisters died, the Gemara there said, well, either way, if you say Yezhikas, then there's Yezhika, where the Gemara concluded, and the reason is, since at the time of Nephilim, they were both Achais or Kukasas, even if one of them dies, it doesn't make a difference, she still was us at that moment, she'll be us forever. That Rav doesn't hold of that halacha. Now, the truth is that the Gemara could have asked over here from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah itself says chalitza is v'lo misamis. You have to do chalitza and you can't do yibum. Now the difficulty is according to Rav, but why? You should be able to do chalitza to one and then do yibum to the other one. And actually the Gemara will later on ask from our Mishnah and will never conclude with the teretz, because that's a good question from our Mishnah, where if you're saying that once that zika is removed, then it's permitted, because the problem of a chalitza kosa is only as long as that zika is there, because Rav holds ain't zika. But if that's the case, then why does our Mishnah say chalitza is v'lo misamis? But be that as it may, Rav is of the opinion that if the first one dies, you could go ahead and do Yibam to the second one because she's not a Chizakuka anymore. Now, and then Rav says you don't have to say that if the second one dies and you never did Chalitza to her, that then for sure you permit it in the first one, because there she's better off than the other case, because when her husband died, the first one to die from the two from the brothers, and her sister didn't fall for Yibim yet, she was the only one eligible for Yibim then, and you could have done Yibim. She wasn't Achais Zukuka at that time. It's only later on that her sister's husband, the other brother-in-law, died also, and then she became forbidden because of Achais Zukuka. We're there, for sure she's going to be permitted, because then she's a Yavama who was originally permitted. Then she became forbidden when her sister's husband died. Now, once her sister dies, then she goes back to her original heter, which she had originally had when she had acquired the heter of Yibam. So she goes back to original heter of Yavama, and therefore, for sure in that case, Barav saying even a bigger chiddush, even if it's that the first sister, the first one to become a Yavama, if she dies, then even the second sister, who even when she first became a Yavama, was not eligible because she was a Chesu Kuka, still once the first brother which is the other sister, who dies, now she's the only one standing, then you can go ahead and do Yibam to that one too. Now, Rabbi Yechonamah, he argues. He says, you're right. Meisa Shnia Mutter B'Rishayna. If the second sister, meaning which is the second brother to die, if that woman, that sister, dies, then Mutter B'Rishayna, then you permit it in the first one. And that's because, as Rav so eloquently explained when he says, and you don't have to say that case, is because when the Nefila happened, so she was a legitimate Yavama. She had the heter, meaning there's always a problem with a Yavama that she's an Eshasach, but you have a heter of Yibam. When she became a Yavama, she had the heter. Now, although she subsequently became forbidden because of her sister, but then when her sister dies, so now she goes back to her original heter. But if the first one died, then the second one will still be forbidden. My time. What's the reason? The reason is shekol yavama she'enan ikariba b'shas nefila, because any yavama where I don't pronounce upon her at the time of when her husband dies, that moment when she falls for yibam, if I don't call upon her yavama yavay leha, that the yavam could then have yibam with her, because you cannot, because she's nachisi kuka of the first sister. Harezer keishas hachshish labanim asura, so she's like a brother's wife that has children, meaning there's no heter of yibum, and therefore she's always forbidden, even at a later time that the sister will die. It doesn't help. You never had that acquisition of the heter of yibum. Now the Gemara asks, if Rav less lehaisvah, does Rav not hold to that svara? That there's a problem if you have to have it b'shas in the filah, where he says that even if the first one dies, the second one will be permitted. But Vama Rav says, Kol Isha she'ena nekar b'shas in the filah, yevama yavaleh, he seems to say the same halacha. He's quoted as saying elsewhere that if it did not pronounce upon the yevama, at the time of nefila, that the yavam could do yibim tar, harei keishas achshish labanim asura. So he says the same halacha. Why does he allow it if even the first one dies? So I think Gemara says, because Hanimili, when did Rav say this halacha? That's Hecha de Koye Ba'apa Isra'chis Isha Dei Raisa. That's if, when you fall and you're not a legitimate Yavama, and that means the Yavam cannot consummate the relationship with Yibum, is because you're a biblical problem. Meaning, for example, let's say there's three brothers, and two of them are married to two sisters, and then one of them dies. Now, then afterwards, after the first one died, then the second one, who is married to the other sister, then his wife dies. That's where Rav says later on Daf Lamed Amud Alef that then the Yavam is going to be forbidden him forever. And the reason is, since at the time in the Fila, she was an Achais Isha, because he, the second brother, he never died, his wife died. Now, so now my wife's died, and so it's not an Achais Isha. Achais Isha is only as long as the wife's alive, so now I can marry, I can do Yibam to you. No, because at the time in the Fila, that made the Yavama an Erva Dereisa, she was Achais Isha. That will make you no more eligible for Yibam. Aval hacha, zika d'rabbanhi. But here we're talking about a case of zika. We're talking about a rabbinic halacha of a chesiku kasai. So therefore, once the first one dies, it's going to make the second one permitted because we do call it a yavama yavay alaha. It's only rabbinically that we can't because of a chesiku kasai. But once that gets out of the way and it's no more chesiku kasai, then one could go ahead and do yibam with the second one. And that's why it's not difficult on Rav, even though he holds up this halacha. But that's only if it's a biblical problem, not if it's rabbinic. Now that the Gemara asks, this is the question that we alluded to before from our Mishnah, which actually the Gemara is asking it on Rabbi Yochanan, but most definitely it's a question according to Rav, according to Rashi's opinion on Rav. That is because our Mishnah said as follows: Arba Achen, you have four brothers, Beis Mehem Nesuin Beis Achayis, two of them are married to two sisters, Umisa Nesuin Nesachayis. Now the ones who are married to the sisters die, so the Halacha Mishnah says, Hare Elu Chalitzes B'lem Mesabes, you have to Chalitza and you can't do Yibim. The question is, v'amai, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's difficult, because leku chad minayhu, lach letz lo l'shnia. Let one of the brothers go ahead and do chalitza to the second one to fall. Now, v'tahav rishon l'gab idach, that makes now the first one, to in regards to the second one, ki yavama shohutra, like yavama that was permitted, because as we just said before, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if the first one, who she was eligible, then the second one came around, made her a problem, she's a chesiku kasai, but once she's out of the picture, either because she's dead or because in this case that you do chalitz to her, then, so Vanessa, she became also the first one, but v'chazra v'hutra, then she goes back and is permitted once you take out of the equation the second one by doing chalitz to her, so taxel terarishan, that should make the first sister go back to the original heter of Yibum, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, why do we say Chalitza B'lemes Yabmos? You should be able to do Chalitza to the second one, and then you can do Yibum to the first one. Which again, of course, is a question according to Rav. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Achayis Eini De Mishanan, I don't know who taught this Mishnah in the beginning of our parak. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees as the Gemara concluded in Daf Chav Dalet and says this is not a legitimate Mishnah. And that's why, you're right, according to my opinion, I think there's a mistaken Mishnah because I don't know who would teach such a halacha, because actually the halacha is that if you take the second one out of the equation, as in the case that they were discussing, if the second one dies, then actually we'd be permitted to do Yibum to the first one, and therefore the halacha would not be that you have to chalitza to both. You could do chalitza to the second one, and then do Yibum to the first one, not the way our Mishnah is quoted in the beginning of this parak.